Ask the Podcast Coach for October 25th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It's Saturday morning. It is Ask the Podcast Coach. This is where you can get your podcasting questions answered live. And I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And in joining me over there, the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from the AverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Back here at the AverageGuy.tv studios as I get a weekend off from our internship work there at Gallup. So it's nice to be home on a Saturday.
I'm glad you said weekend off, because next weekend, we're taking a weekend off.
We are. We won't be here. I'll be in Seattle, and actually, I'll be in Portland, and you're just using it as a good excuse to not be here.
That's it. I did for October 25th, I realize now that my live page is open, and I'm hearing myself back at me. That's always fun. Yeah, I haven't done that in a while.
Rookie.
Yeah, that's it. My brain is, it left a long time ago.
You have had a crazy week, for sure. So.
I've had a crazy week. My car blew up on Thursday. And the engine said, hey, you know what? 178,000 miles on a Toyota Corolla is enough. Especially, Dave, if you don't change the oil enough, it turns out. And lesson I learned many, many moons ago when I was 16, when I just didn't put any oil in it. And my previous car got 200,000 miles out of it, was religious about it. And this one, I got a little lazy. And they went, hey, you got sludge in your engine. That's why it sounds like it's dead. And I'm now the owner of a slightly used Toyota Prius, and the operator's manual is about the size of the phone book. There's two. There's one for the car and then one for the dashboard.
One for the electronic system in it.
Yeah, the dashboard's really cool, though. I really got excited because it had a built-in USB charger and a built-in auxiliary, and that's when all right, cool, I'll buy the car just on that. And but when I plug my iPod in, it basically brings up a screen. And it says iPod, even though it's my iPhone. And I can click a button and listen to podcasts, and your album comes up on it. And I was like, oh, I can see where this is going to be very, very cool. And again, it's one little step closer to taking over kind of that interface. But hey, if you just joined us, we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And if you want to call in, we would love to hear from you. That number is, of course, 845-262-2401. Again, 845-262-2401. And that's where our we have a little chat room going there that people are chiming in. And we have also, you know what I did also this week that I have not done? And this is going to be embarrassing to admit, and I'm not sure why. You ready?
Yeah, go.
I listened to my very first ever Home Gadget Geeks.
Really?
I don't know. Nice. I'm like, you know, I've known Jim forever, and I'm like, I'm not listening to his podcast. I'm like, why am I not listening?
That's right.
So I went back, downloaded a back, listened to the Ryan Parker one, the Addy one.
Oh, good.
And just cherry picked a bunch, man. So
the Addy one. I mean, Ryan's was good, but Addy was particularly good when we talked about sound and sound engineering and podcasting. And so that one would be particularly good if you're a podcaster to listen to. She gives out some podcasting secrets. So head over to theaverageguy.tv, and then I wish I knew what number it was, but just search Addy in my search bar up on the top, and she'll pop up.
So that was, and I was like, wow, this is cool, man. And it's, there's my buddy Jim. He's like, broadcasting from blah, 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 Nebraska. So.
You know, it's interesting as you say that, you know, so I host my own shows as well as I'm co-hosts with, you know, on this one and a couple others. And, you know, I really like the co-host gig a lot, because you can just jump in, right? You don't have to do much. You just get to show up. And I find I'm more relaxed on these shows than I am on my own. And I actually feel better about that. Now, whether I'm better on one or the other, I'll leave that up to the audience to decide. But I feel better in a co-host role than I do in a host role. I do enjoy hosting. It's just one of those things I've noticed over the last, you know, couple years of doing this. It's like I really enjoy being the number two guy. In that and just kind of letting, you know, just the color commentator, right? That's what I enjoy.
There you go. Well, the big news that came out, was it yesterday, I guess, and we're all trying to figure out, I was kind of hoping we've had people call in from like Kazakhstan and all sorts of Australia and all these other places. Stitcher has been purchased by Deezer, which everybody goes, oh, I love that band. I'm like, no, that's Weezer. This is
Wasn't that a guy in Sha Na Na?
That was Bowser.
Oh.
Yep, right. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It was the tenor in Sha Na Na.
And so it's weird because if you're in the U.S. and you go to Deezer.com, it goes, hey, coming soon. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And if you go down to the bottom of Deezer.com and go to the company side, they have 5 million premium subscribers. I understand it's a little bit like Spotify in 180 countries, but not the U.S. 16 million active monthly users, which I'm like, okay, so there's 16 million people using it for free. 5 million go for the premium route. And then there are 35 million tracks of music from what I understand. So I was like, all right, so.
Which isn't very much, by the way. 35 million is not a lot.
Yeah, so.
Amazon Prime has something like that, and you can't find anything in there.
Oh, nice. Excellent. So everybody's like, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, and I don't know. It's kind of like, it's interesting. It's because I was trying to say, well, how would I feel if Spotify bought Stitcher? And I'm like, well, if it's a bigger platform than what they were, I'm happy. If they continue to develop it, because Stitcher was really for a while, they're like coming out with new stuff all the time. I guess I don't know at this point because I don't know the company. I'm like, you know, if Apple bought it, I'd be like, awesome, cool, maybe, because then we wouldn't have
sort of.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what's going to happen to the Android side?
Yeah. I think Stitcher was getting ready to run out of cash. Let's just they were, you know, they're trying to this advertising model. I don't think it had gone as well as they'd wanted it to. It's still early. I mean, if you're early, you've got to have stacks of cash, right? You just have to. You can't outlive your capital. And I think Stitcher was in that spot where they've had VC funding a couple times, and then they were getting low, getting ready to run out. And I think the sale is an indication of it was a pretty good price for Deezer to pick up. I think it's a good. It's a good concept, and so how they execute it will determine whether was a good decision or not. And not everybody can merge and execute well. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
The good news is, I think if it was an Apple, they would crush it when that, you know, they would buy it and crush it.
Done with it. That's right? A good point.
And so because it's Deezer and they're also trying to be, I mean, this is more of a merger than I think it is an acquisition. And so in a lot of ways, because Stitcher's got the U.S. streaming audience for sure. I mean, let's just say they're
right.
They're in there. They're in the game here in the United States. Deezer, of course, more popular in Europe and other parts of the world. You can't get a subscription today for Deezer if you're in the U.S. You and I both tried. And it says, hey, give us your email address and we'll let you know when it's coming. Right. So it's not available. You can't purchase it. You cannot purchase a subscription to them yet here in the United States.
According to Wikipedia, they have over 30,000 radio channels and they were started in 2006. And then it launched in 2007. So they've been around a little while.
They have been around a while. And financially, I think they're in pretty good shape. And that's, of course, what you want.
Yeah,
when you're being acquired, right? You want to be acquired from an organization that's doing pretty well. They do have subscriptions plans. They have a relationship with Bose as well. So you can buy, if you buy some Bose speakers, you can get access to their premium, which will stream those audio files, not in MP3, but in FLAC. So you get full... You know, you get the full richness of the file. If you can even say that about a digital file, that's such an analog term, right, in what we do. But you get the full file. So they got some interesting things going on. I think it's going to be, again, it depends on how they execute this. I think it's neutral. It's a neutral decision. How they execute will determine if was it a good decision or a bad one.
Yeah, it'll be, it is kind of a wait and see at this point. I just thought it was funny. It's this is where... Again, Americans tend to think the world revolves around the U.S. And I'm like, what do you mean we don't have access? But we're America.
Right.
So I was like,
right. Well, we'd say that same thing on the Microsoft side. When Microsoft bought Nokia,
right.
Everyone's like, Nokia, well, they're not that big of a deal. Well, in everywhere but the United States, they're a huge deal.
Ah.
And so it's one of those kinds of things. You're like, that doesn't make any sense, Microsoft. Why would you do something like that? Well, all of a sudden, when you're the number one phone seller in every other country except the United States, it looks like a pretty good, you know, like a pretty good deal. I think this will pan out if they manage it well.
Yeah. Hey, since the cool thing is, you know, we always talk about our phone number being 845-262-2401. And I do have it set up so that this is not my primary voicemail number. That is 888-563-3228. But Kim called in, you know, after hours, I guess we should say, and had a cool little question that's an easy one to fix. So here is a quick voicemail from Kim.
Hi, this is Kim from OnTheTablePodcasts.com, and I met Dave at the Cleveland meetup last month, and I'm looking forward to the next one. My question is this. I have to quote something in my podcast, and I'd like to make my voice a little bit different for that quotation. Can you give me some suggestions of mild things that I can do? I don't need reverb. I just need something to set my voice apart for that one section. Thanks. Bye-bye.
There we go. So, yeah, met her at the Cleveland podcast meetup. And I'm good. I'm glad to hear she said, I don't need reverb. Because reverb is not really the podcaster's friend, unless you're trying to make it sound like you're in a cave. And Jim, what would be your initial reaction? I have one, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I think the most common one is to use that phone effect. So to make it sound like you're calling, you know, it's coming through a phone. I've heard a lot. That's actually real popular in music and was for a couple years to make your voice sound like it's kind of on a phone line. So bringing down the quality of that sets it apart. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I was going to say something with the EQ, and it could be as easy as simply taking out the bass or turning up the treble, just something. And then the other one, it would depend on how you are publishing it. I thought, well, you could always tweak the pan maybe for a second and have you dead center, then all of a sudden have this afterthought be over in the left channel.
Yeah, just take it to one of the channels, take it to either one of them.
Yeah.
And then come back to full.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, depending on how you're publishing it. But yeah, I think any of those will work to set it apart. I'm amazed at how just tweaking the bass. I mean, if you think about it, if I was talking here and all of a sudden I say, of course, that famous Jimi Hendrix quote, you know, I'm going to let my freak flag fly. You know, just turning off the bass makes it stand apart.
No, that's very good. That's a good example.
And I did find that out today. I've been quoting people and somebody said, I would have to, I think that's a Dave Jackson saying, I'm going to wave my freak flag high, I think is actually what he says. And I said, I can't take credit for that. That's in the Jimi Hendrix song, If Six Was Nine. And then somebody else said, I realize I never said this one. When I say there is no such thing as too long, there's only too boring. That's Valerie Geller from the book. I think it's Beyond Powerful Radio. And I'm like,
your back in the day also gets quoted, by the way. I've heard that at least once, maybe twice in other podcasts. Yeah. And they'll say, like when Dave Jackson says, back in the day.
That I can take. I have no idea where that came from. I just,
it's good. You do it well, though. I want to do it like you do.
Back in the day. Yes. My exactly. Old man voice. So,
super good.
Yeah. So, and if you have a question and you want to call in live, we will talk about anything. It's again, because I just want to hear the jingle again. Ba-da-ba. There we go. 845-262-2401. We're over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And when I was reading that book, Beyond Powerful Radio, that's one of the things you have to do when you're live. Is you have to continually say the weather and the time and where you're at. And in case you just joined us, that kind of stuff.
Hey, let me break something down here real quick.
All right.
So on your live page, mm-hmm. askthepodcastcoach.com/live, right? So you've got that set up. You got the video up top, mm-hmm. chat wing in the middle, and then audio on the bottom. And that's the exact same format we've moved to on our Gallup podcast as well. And, you know, I think we did a show on Thursday. We had 100 and some live, which was pretty cool.
Sweet.
And I get about 60 to join the chat. This is you get about 50 to 60% of your audience will actually go to the chat room and use it, you know, when your numbers get that size. So that's kind of an interesting phenomenon. And the other thing you get when you're an hour long show, the other thing you get is people jumping in and out. So your live numbers might say, you know, when you're watching the YouTube, if you're live on YouTube and you get an idea how many are watching at that point, it might say, we'll say 75. When you get done, it'll say 125 viewed you because you have people jumping in and out all the time on that thing, which is kind of interesting. But I really like this format where you've gone to. And I mentioned a couple weeks back, we switched from Spreaker to Mixlr because I think Mixlr just does live better because it's a live only service. Mm-hmm. And so one of the nice things is they have this really nice embeddable. You never have to change the code or whack your microphone when you're talking. So animated. So you never have to change the code on that. And that's one less thing you have to do before you go live. So no matter what you're doing or how you're going live, or if you stop the show and start it again, the player that's on the page doesn't have to be changed.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
That's awesome. I wish YouTube would do something like that, where I could have a standard embeddable player that I feed that into.
I need to ask Daniel. He is aware of some plugin that somehow makes it to where you don't have to update your YouTube stuff.
Oh,
and
that'd be nice.
He told me it once, and I was like, I need to write that down. And yeah, because that's the only thing. I always remember that, like, about, you know, 10:10. I'm like, oh, crap, I never updated the this week. Now, this week I actually had. I was surprised. I went back, and when I pasted the code, I'm like, oh, that's the same thing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I've been trying to make the event earlier, because what's kind of cool is it reminds you the day before. Hey, tomorrow at, you know, 10:30.
On Mixlr, right?
On YouTube. Yeah,
if YouTube,
you,
yep.
Yeah, so I went, okay, well, that's...
I think you get better coverage that way. So I've been trying to make mine a week in advance on YouTube and just have them out there. And then then I can just go the day of starting, you know, when we're going to do the podcast, I just jump out there and open it up and I'm ready to go. And it's another step I kind of eliminate before. And at work, I actually handed that process off to another individual, which was kind of nice. I said, hey, the week before, I want you to log in and set all these events for me and have them ready to go. And he's one of our interns, one of our production interns. And so it gives him some responsibility to make sure those things are set up. The other thing, Dave, I might think of, or we might think about doing here is labeling the audio, labeling that down below that player as audio only, so people understand. Because sometimes they have trouble with YouTube. We get this all the time. Bandwidth, whatever, right? This doesn't work. You know, they get frustrated. And so I always say, oh, just go below the chat window. We have an audio option for you. And we broadcast, you know, we're international in India, and the bandwidth's always not great there. And so it gives them an option to click. And Mixlr does really, really well in that situation. So I like this. I kind of like where we've landed with this. And this is a method I'm going to continue to use in my own podcast, both for The Average Guy and for Gallup.
Yeah, I was tempted to have it, like, when you go to /live, I was tempted to have it say, what would you like to do? Would you like to, you know, watch or listen? And then because Chatwing, you can put the chat box on both ones and everybody would be the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Why make it harder than it has to be? Put them all there.
Right.
And
right. And for branding purposes, you want them on your site, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that we've talked about that. Now they're there. So now you can, you know, I think you have like that. You could put your Amazon link there, which I would recommend.
Yeah.
You know, your Amazon support link.
I saw that on your site. I'm like, that's a good idea. Because if you got them there, you know, hey, while you're here, or a donate button or whatever, yeah.
Last week we had a caller call in, and I think he thought he was on his microphone, but he was really coming through his camera mic.
Yeah, Marcus.
That happens at work to me all the time because I'm carrying my laptop around, and sometimes it's plugged into the docking station, and sometimes I'm all over the place, and I have both the link, and I'm doing Hangouts. You know,
that's gonna be fun.
Switching my audio settings all the time, and so I'll jump on a link call, and it won't be set to the right stuff or the right camera. And so that is one of the drawbacks to all this, you know, if you're moving around quite a bit. And you have to remember in your own studio, just remember sometimes you got to check what you're connecting with. Because if you have multiple, Dave, you and I all have, we have multiple ways. We have multiple cameras. We have multiple microphones.
That's next. Camera switching. I can do that with my feet.
It's like playing an organ, you know,
Yeah, in the old days.
You're playing those feet. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, the other news that hasn't gotten a lot of play, I saw it on Rob Walsh's Podcast 411. I wish I had a link to this. It might be facebook.com/podcast411. Let's see if that works. But the Libsyn player is now it streams on Facebook a la SoundCloud. And I went, oh, cool. Let me see if I guessed right. That is a correct page, facebook.com/podcast411. If I click on these, are these videos or nope? It's taking me to I know he had one on here. He might have moved it. Dag nabbit. But it is, if it's not, it's not on that page, but it is, I've seen it work. It's something that, you know, when Thursday came and went, I was like, oh, I'll look at that tonight. And then Thursday blew up in my face. But so that's kind of cool. I don't know how to do that yet, how to implement it. But I have seen where that's now That is now it's not a pipe dream anymore. So it's kind of cool that, you know, they realize that this is something people want. They have gone through and done that. Well, our caller is back, so we'll try this again. Ending in 0240. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your number? Or question. We know your number.
Hi, can you hear me? I wasn't actually the caller from before. I think I'm a new caller, if you can hear me.
All right, everybody's just ending in 0240, but yeah, we can definitely hear you. What's your name?
Great. Hi, my name's Craig. I called in a couple of weeks ago, and you advised me about a podcast theme.
Uh-huh. How's it going?
I'm getting two audios coming through. I think I'm getting the live feed too. I'm just going to try and.
Yeah, if you mute us on the website and just listen through your phone.
Yeah, that's it. That's really annoying when you've got two things coming in your ears at the same time.
Yeah, it makes you sound like you're drunk.
First of all, I want to say thanks, Dave, because, both of you recommended that theme and I bought it and I'm very, very happy with it. I was the guy who wanted to launch a second podcast.
Okay.
And I think it was Dave who recommended the. The podcast pro theme for Appendipity.
It's pretty sweet.
So I've got that up. It is. It's really good. And not only that, the guy there, Joey Kissimmee, he gives great support. He did a webinar last week, so he really helped me with a few technical problems I was having. So, yeah, it's really going great. But what I'm phoning in for today is I'd like to ask you guys your opinion on branding, because I bought a podcast cover art image a couple of years ago from Elance. I think it cost me about $60 or $70, and I've never really been happy with it, so I'd like to get something a bit more professional looking. And I went to 99 Designs. So for a logo there, you're looking at about $200-$300.
Yeah.
And then obviously I'll need the podcast artwork, and then I'll need maybe business cards. I wondered how you guys approach that, because I've noticed on both your sites, your branding's very constant, and especially on the average guy, it looks great with the glasses, and every page has got its own kind of image to it, its own icon. So how would you advise somebody like me who wants to get a bit more serious about their branding not only on their podcast, but on their brand as a whole?
Yeah. To me, the name 99 Designs is confusing, because you think you're going to get a logo for $99. And it's like, no, you're going to get 99 people working on your logo. I use a company called podcastdesigns.com. Becky Crocker is the bomb. She's done almost everything but the School of Podcasting logo, because I didn't know about Becky when I started the School of Podcasting. Todd Cochran recently went to Fiverr.com, and he said, now he had to use three different people, but he ended up getting some pretty cool stuff. I know the New Media Show, which I will be on today at 12, by the way, live at newmediashow.com. That logo now he got from a guy on Fiverr. And he said, so the first two, he said the one was horrendous. And he goes, the second one was meh. And the third one was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So, if you can find the right person, I should ask Todd today, who was the person that did that? Maybe I'll send that guy some traffic. But the thing, I've always used Becky. I think she's somewhere between $30 and $40, because there are people. I mean, Daniel.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, Daniel J. Lewis will do one for you, but he's a little up there. And there are people that will try to charge you, $300, kind of the 99 Designs thing. And that, to me, I'm like, it's a little steep for my blood. Jim, how'd you get your logo?
Yeah, so I used a local, we talked about this way back. I used a local artist who goes to our church, and he was doing some of the work, some of the branding work and a lot of the artwork around what we do are very creepy. I said, hey, I will help you do your own website and get you out and launched if you will do some logo work for me. So we did this swap, which I think, Craig's a great idea. I think if you can find someone who's got the talent but hasn't been discovered yet, and you guys can swap services in some way or even pay them for that. That's what I did. And from the concept to the colors to everything, that was him. I mean, this kid is gifted. And so I was just fortunate to run into that situation.
Yeah.
I'm happy to pay, but if I find a good design, I'm happy to pay for like the whole package, because that takes a lot of worry and a lot of weight off of me. I tried to design one. When I showed it to my wife, she said, there's no way you're using that. It's terrible. So obviously you need a professional.
Yeah, I mean...
and the problem... the things I've heard about Fiverr is that because it's very, very low priced, you could get people stealing pictures for that have copyright, so you might end up with a logo with a stolen picture on it, which is a bit risky.
Oh, it's a lot risky. The thing my favorite was, there was a Fiverr person that had a demo of, you know, I'll do your podcast intro, and he's playing like Cool in the Gang and all this completely licensed music, and I'm like, okay. And then so a lot of times they just like, hey, look what I can do. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you can do that. It's completely illegal, but sure, you can. And I'm sure there are people doing the same thing. They're just going over to Google Images and going that route. And that's it's kind of like jaywalking. You know, people do it all the time. Doesn't mean it's legal. And you can always get caught. And when you get caught, you know, then it's a matter of, you know, how painful is that going to be? And why I said I love Becky over at Podcast Designs. If you tell her you're from the School of Podcasting, she'll make extra. She takes care of everybody, but let her know you're from the School of Podcasting, because we send people back and forth.
Okay, I would definitely check her out. That's great.
Yeah, she's the cool thing about it. Number one, she's also pretty fast on her turnaround, and she's a stay-at-home mom. And so she just had a little baby. It's probably not little anymore, probably a couple years old by now. And so that's, you know, she wanted to be able to work from home and take care of the little one, and started Podcast Designs, and she does great work.
Craig, real quick, let me say, Craig, before you go, real quick, let me say this, right? I think sometimes we approach logo work backwards. In other words, we look for art first, and then the design second. We want cool looking art, right? One of the things I liked about the web design, or the design that I got, is the designer, he started with that AG, that average guy that looks like glasses, right? By the way, those glasses are just turned over. It's an AG turned over. I happen to wear glasses. It was a great concept, right? And then we built everything around that concept. So find your concept, right, first. Then do the art second, right? Don't let one lead the other. The art shouldn't come first. The concept should come first. The brand should come first.
So I should go for the logo first, and then whatever the cover art is, or whatever the website, that should be based around the logo, or around something to represent.
The logo will be based on the concept. So come up with your branding concept. What are you trying to do, right? What are the pieces of that concept, and how is your brand laid out? What is your identity, right? Then the logo and all the artwork comes off of that brand identity. So once you're able to describe what your brand identity is, what you're doing, who you're trying to reach, what you want it to look like, what's the message in the brand, all the artwork comes second after that. And I consider a logo an artwork at that point, right? It's the visible representation of your brand. So that's my recommendation. Yeah. Concept first, art second, not the other way around.
Great. Yeah, I've got it. Well, thanks very much, guys. It's very, very helpful.
Don't leave yet. I have a question for you as well.
Sure.
I'm trying to reverse engineer podcasting. And so if you think of maybe the last podcast you listened to, do you remember by any chance how you found it?
And I came home from work this morning. I was listening to the Audacity to podcast, okay, and I found Daniel after listening to what's the guy? Ravenscraft. His first name escapes
Cliff.
Me. Cliff. Yep. Podcast answer. Cliff. Yeah. Okay. After listening to Cliff, then I found him and I found you.
And how did you find Cliff? Do you remember?
Just a Google search. We're going back like 4 or 5 years. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. And
okay. We'll let you off
probably,
the hook.
Probably through.
But the thing
probably
is
through Google.
Yeah. So the thing is, you heard about it on another podcast. Okay. That's my new question now is, what podcast did you just listen to? Great. If you remember, and congratulations, you win a cheese straightener, for remembering how you found it. And in this case, it was on another podcast, because so many people are,
I think people recommend other podcasts on their shows, or I listen to an interview and I really like the sound of the guy, so Then I'll go and find out if that guy's got a podcast or if that girl's got a podcast. And then I'll from an interview, I'll go over to that other person. So then I get another podcast to listen to. That's usually how I jump from podcast to podcast.
There you go. Yep. That seems to be a common path. So I just, we're all up in arms about iTunes. And I hate to say new and noteworthy at this point, because I usually throw up a little in my mouth at this point. But so I'm like, how are people getting listeners? And a lot of it is word of mouth. And like you said, you heard them on another podcast. So I'm trying to find out, like, how are you, like, whatever show you found, how did you find it? Cause we need to start doing more of that.
But Dave, these are podcasts that, like, mainly for entertainment, mm-hmm. and like for my personal interest, for work, like that my competition, mm-hmm. I would go to iTunes, as I teach English. So I would go to iTunes and I'd type in the search box, English lessons, or usually in Spanish, I put in dead inglés, and I would find out what the competition's doing that way. So, but that's not really for enjoyment.
Right.
That's just to find out what the competition's doing.
There you go. Okay. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing that. Just something I'm interested in, because everybody's main question is, how do I grow my audience? I'm like, well, let's figure out how people are, like, how are people getting new listeners? So I'm like, well, let's find some listeners, and found out, it's just going backwards. Okay, how did you find that guy? And, you know, because it may be that we're all freaking out about iTunes and nobody's using it. I mean, obviously people are using it. But
By the way, Dave, congratulations on the NMX gig. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. I just this morning started to look at these submissions, because yesterday was the deadline. And it's going to be interesting, because there are some really cool. I got about halfway through and was just looking at titles. And again, I'm trying to pull them through without looking at the names, because I know there's a Daniel J. Lewis in there, and I know there's a Ray Ortega and all these other people. So I'm just trying to look at the content at this point, and I'm going to go through once and look at the content, then I'm going to go through and look at the names, because I do need to put butts in the seats and kind of cross-reference those. And I think that's going to be my steps, and then I'll probably go over them another 50 million times, but that's where I'm starting at this point. But yeah, thank you very much.
Nice one. Great. So. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Have a good one. So yes.
See you soon. Bye.
Yes, that's my new little quest, because we do at the school podcast, and we do a monthly, I call them think tanks. I might call them office hours. Somebody said we should do that because it's keeping with the whole school theme. And, you know, every time it's like there's a guy who's kind of doing the Dumas blueprint, right? He's got the Daily Show. He's doing this, and he's like, you know, and here he is now. And this is where I say in about, I'm going to call my shot March of next year. We're getting a lot of like podcasting sucks in about March, because that's where a lot of these people that have been doing it. Hey, I spent most of 2014 podcasting. It's 2015 now. I'm not on the cover of Time. And he actually asked the question, what's the magic? And he said, I'm like, dude, if you're looking for the 10,000 download switch, I live and drink podcasting pretty much 24/7. I haven't found it yet. And as far as I can see, nobody has either. And that's when I just said, well, let's find out, how are people, like, how did you become a listener of that show? And so that's what I've been trying to reverse engineer. And so we'll see.
I think by far most people get introduced to other shows from inside shows.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the way it goes by far. The I see on the podcasters, you know, I'm a part of all the podcasters forums and groups and stuff. And by far, I see a lot of attention being given. We've talked about iTunes, so we won't talk about that here. You know, my feeling is on that. But I think by now, if you don't, go back a couple episodes. But these podcast directories, I think that's another thing we waste an enormous amount of time on. Not saying they're bad, right? I mean, there's some really good stuff out there and you should submit, but get it submitted and move on. It's just you might see, and I'm making these numbers up, I think you might see maybe a 5%. You can't not be there. You have to be there. So go out and get it done. But if you think you're going to go out to podcast directories and you're just going to put your podcast out there, and I've done that on all of them, and I just don't get anything from those directories for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, I don't track it down to the nth. I don't know. I couldn't prove it, but I'm just saying this is all just from experience. But I just don't think you've got to have great brand. You got to be reaching people. You've got to be making a splash, and you need a break. It's like anything else. There's no magic formula for this. Every actor in Hollywood got a break at some point, was in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and had some talent. although there's some that's questionable, the talent part sometimes. But which goes to show you don't have to necessarily be the best. Sometimes you just need the right break. And so you can have all the best stuff doing all the right things and not get that break, or you can be marginal and get that break. So you just got to be doing it.
Yeah. Paul Culligan, who does, let's see, Fred is podcast reporter. Paul is the podcast reporter. He just did an episode and he said podcast directories. And he said, iTunes, you have to be in because so many people use their API. And he said, but really they're kind of the phone book of podcasting. He goes, you know, I laugh every time I get a new phone book delivered to me. I'm like, who do people still use these? I'm like, yeah, they're called, you know, AARP. You know, so somebody who doesn't have a computer might use those, but I mean, that would be my last resort would to be to use a phone book. And he said, they're kind of, you know, back in the day they were great because we needed a way to find podcasts. So enter Podcast Alley and then later iTunes and things like that. But,
yeah. Dave, let me ask you this question. I want to be super controversial for just a second.
Ooh,
so
controversy.
When did podcasting become a religion that you have to be in it for the right motives, right? When did making money doing podcasting become a bad thing? Because I sense sometimes in our circles, we say this a lot. Oh, your whole motivation was to make money. You can't do that. And I think that's incorrect. You absolutely can make money doing this, and plenty of people have. It's just like any small business, right? What if you went into a McDonald's franchise and you were like, well, I'm not going to really do this to make money. Well, they're going to laugh you. Right. They're going to laugh you out of there. Of course you're doing it to make money. If it's a job, right? Like it can be a job like any other job. You can come and sit at the microphone. You can hustle your services. You can, you know, you can get advertisers. Certainly Leo Laporte has made a living out of this thing. Okay. By being the dude hustled it, man. He got a break and he was in the right place at the right time. I want us to be careful. We say that a lot, like, oh, it's not the right motivation. And it feels a little bit religious, like, you know, like I have to come at this from such good morals type thing. I want to say, if you want a podcast to make money, go for it. Just like every other small business, not everybody's successful, right? 95% of small businesses fail in the first 10 years, right? They all don't make it, and not everybody's podcast is going to make it either. But I want to be a little cautious about this idea that we can't make money in it.
Yeah, it's this is from the guy, right? When I went to the second, whatever it was called back then, Podcast Expo, New Media Expo, whatever it was at that point. I went to the second one and I was the guy that walked in and said, you know, we should think about, you know, I think we can make some money with this. Of course, by that time I had the school of podcasting, like, you charge people to learn how to podcast? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to save them a lot of time. And I found all these great research. You charge people? What? And I'm like, well, yeah. So there is always that. You have that. It's an art, man. Come on, do it for it. Well, okay. Now, and for the record, you know, it's there are a lot of people that like I don't want to make money with my podcast, and that's absolutely fine as well. But yeah, there is. I think what happens is when people, we need to expand that. If you're getting in for the sole reason of getting money, and you want to make it fast, that's the part I think that we don't say often
but
enough.
It can happen though.
Oh, we can.
I think what we should say is this, the odds of success. I mean, but it's like anything else, right? If I wanted to be a musician, I mean, how many of us want to sing like Steve Perry, right? And have his success. You know, if a sudden one day I'm like, Taylor Swift's been pretty successful. I think I'm going to go buy a guitar and I think I'm going to start with country music.
Okay.
And I, you know, right. Well, first of all, I'm not 14. So I can't go back and do that.
Come on. And you have great hair, man. Come on. We can
second
do it.
All, right.
Can you sing?
But I can't.
Oh, doggone.
So
it.
especially not at, but the point being, right, is you have to be realistic in your own settings, right? If this is true of any business, right? It's just true of any business. This is not unique to podcasting. It's not like podcasting is some special medium that's never been done before. It's the same thing as everything else that we do. The point being is that you have realistic expectations going forward. Listen, if a podcaster jumps out and says, I'm going to make $100,000 a month and I'm going to do this, right? don't say they can't do it. They can.
You can.
Well, until they can't.
Right.
Right. So we try to drag them down, and then it's not meant for that. It's not right.
Yeah.
No, let's encourage them. The more of those guys that we have do that, the better off we all are. Right. Rising tides raises all ships.
Right.
And so we want those guys to be successful. But I get what we're saying with this. It's just one of those things that's been driving me nuts. It's like we try to knock these guys, the Dumases and the Michael Hyatts,
now,
and trying to knock them down. You know? And I don't appreciate that.
We have another caller on the line. Cliff, speaking of Cliff Ravenscraft, he just did an episode where somebody wanted to partner with him. And they were literally saying, you can make, you know, tens of thousands of dollars working one day a week. And he's like, OK, no, that's just a lie. You know,
well, that's Amway, though. I mean, that's the same promise of Amway. Did people do it? Absolutely. Yeah. Did everybody do it? No.
No. Yeah.
Right. Is it the best way to go? And this is the key, I think. Right. What's the best way to go about this? And I think what everyone is saying is you have to set some realistic expectations. But hey, if you start your show and you're like, I'm hoping to get 10 people, that's a pretty low target.
Yeah.
I would say I hope to get 10,000. Now, if you don't get there, you don't get there. Right. But set some high goals, for God's sakes. Let's have some. You know, let's have some of that, let's shoot for the stars. And if you don't make it, you don't make it. But, you know, again, it's just like any other job.
All right. And this is really weird because,
let me step off my soapbox.
That's all right. It was good. It was a good soapbox. But
hey, real quick, while we're waiting, maybe they'll pop in here. Let me just mention a really cool tool. I alluded to this last week, but I got the post up on my site this week. So we interviewed one of the two developers around this web service called Uptime Robot. So, and it's just all one word, UPTIMEROBOT, uptimerobot.com. A basic tool every single podcaster should use. By the way, free for the first 50 monitors. And so if you want to monitor your website, it's Uptime, right? Say you're using a service like GoDaddy or Bluehost or HostGator, any of those, right? You can point the services towards your website and get a measurement of its uptime. So if you're having trouble with your site, maybe it goes down a lot and you're frustrated with it, and you want to get some statistics around it, a super simple service, again, free for the first 50 monitors. So if you have 51 sites, well, then you're going to maybe have to kick in. Although in the interview, I interviewed him last week on my site out at theaverageguy.tv. It's an interesting interview. They are really struggling to figure out their premium services, and they're not sure they even want to do it. They like doing it so much. They're kind of like, I don't know. We learned. So they kind of use this as a site to learn things, right? Learn stuff about development, which is pretty cool. But it's really cool. It gives you some SLAs, a really cool dashboard. I measure 4 or 5 of my sites out there. And every week, anytime something goes down, I get an alert. It can be SMS or via email. So if you're worried about your site going down or you've had trouble with your site, you can point this towards it. And I think it's just one of those really cool. This would be something, Dave, that should go into weekly web tools. You should take a look at, because it's one of these. It's really, a lot of people struggle, and you can't trust the site host that you're on to give you good uptime stats, right? That's letting the fox in the hen house, right? So this is an outside monitoring tool that you can do. So Uptime Robot, if you want to hear about it, you can jump over to my site, but give that a look. I think for every podcaster, that is a very cool tool that, that you will quickly get addicted to.
All right, I'm making a mental note. 4521, you just did my weekly web tool show.
Yes. I like it.
That'll be great.
I like it.
And that'll be a nice.
And it's free for the most part.
Speaking of free, since we're going to whip out tools, I was on the Coach Zing show. And the episode won't be out for a while, but I get to see a lot of people's kind of, what do you call those things where you sign off on it? A release. And it was interesting because they had this really cool, like, wording of, you know, you agree to do this, you're going to get a file, you can do whatever you want with the file, blah, blah, blah. We get to use it however we want it. And at the bottom, you got to sign your name on their website. And I went, okay, that's cool. I know there's something Panda I was talking about. This is called HelloSign, and it's free for 3 signatures a month. So depending on how many you're doing. Now, I have not used this yet, for the record. I've only used it as a user and went, wow, that's pretty cool. Because you just take your mouse and kind of scribble your name so it looks like you're in the 3rd grade. And it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But there's no affiliate program. So if you look at this and go, oh, I got a program. Yeah, I've already asked. There's no affiliate program. But it's kind of interesting. It's one of those things where we talked about doing audio sign-offs and things of that nature too. get people to kind of say, yes, I'm okay. You can use this however you want. But, yeah, we dropped our caller. So whatever, whoever that was, they have given up. So I apologize. I'm not sure why we couldn't hear you, but try calling back, and we'd be more than happy to
That's a question I'm hearing a lot more often about is release. That's kind of going in its cycle where we talk about it and everybody's, you know, do you get releases for the people you interview on your podcast? And so there's a couple services out there that help you do that. You had mentioned just ask them on the air, right?
Yeah.
I do that with the Gallup podcast. So we do these calls where after they're done with the training, we interview them. I just did a bunch over the last couple of days. And I always say beforehand, we use these videos for marketing purposes. Do you agree for us to do that? And they'll say yes, and boom, then I have it on video. And if they ever come back. Now, if they ever did come back and say, I need you to take it down, I absolutely would take it down, right? It's just one of those things. I'm not going to say, nope, you signed it. You said you would, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Even if they come back after me, I'm gonna take it down.
Yeah.
In that case. That's just not worth it.
Yeah.
It's really not. Yeah, well, it's not.
Well, this would be a fun one. We have another, this is another question that came in, and I thought I would play it here because, I mean, I do video, I do things in Camtasia, and I thought with the live audience here, they might be able to chime in because Doris is talking stuff that I was like, I understand she's doing video with Photo Booth. And to me, Photo Booth is an iPad app. So let me play you this clip, and we'll see if we can't decipher what a path here for. I told her, I said, call in today at 10:30. I would love to talk to you about this.
Hi, Dave. You know Ted, who is my significant other. Okay. I do a podcast, a weekly podcast. I use Photo Booth, but Photo Booth doesn't work with Yosemite. Do you know a different app that I can use to film and upload my videos to YouTube? And by the way, I'm interested in doing iTunes for the podcast, but I don't know what blog I use that I can do the RSV feed to iTunes. Can you please help me with that? Thank you very much. My name is Doris.
And I'm going to stop that because she gives out her email address and I don't want to do that. So
yeah, yeah. And what are the odds that UPS would come to the door as soon as she's...
Absolutely. Doggone it, we had a caller and it just dropped them. I was like, oh, cool.
Thanks, Joe, for that reference, by the way.
Yeah, it was... So I heard Blogspot. Now, is this, you know, again, my recommended way of podcasting, and I want to say it as an absolute, is to get your own WordPress hosted site, not at WordPress.com, but, you know, send me an email with the phrase quick start and we can get you set up on a website and we can kind of talk that through. Because a lot of times people are like, I'm ready to order my hosting. And I'm like, what's the name of your show? And they go, don't know yet. I'm like, nope, let's back up a second.
Yeah, let's back the truck up.
Yeah. But in terms...
Well, and Dave, we use Blogspot at Gallup as for our coach's blog, and it's terrible for podcasting. So, yeah. I mean, I've had all kinds of trouble. I didn't start it. I inherited it from somebody else. So we're changing it, but yeah, don't go down that route for sure. Blogspot's terrible for that.
Yeah. It's everybody's like, oh, but it's owned by Google. I'm like, that's not really.
RSV feed? Is that the new, that's the new,
it's
the
new standard. Yeah.
It's RSS 2.0.
Which I loved it. I was like, cool. Here's somebody. She needs my help.
I hope she's not listening and I'm not trying to make fun of it. It was a fun call.
Yeah. It was awesome. So, in terms of recording video to upload to YouTube from an app, I just use video and I don't know.
Yeah, use the internal video recorder that's on, on there. And I don't know how the iPhone works for that. I know on Android, it just becomes a file that you could then upload somewhere and edit.
Yeah, that was going to be my thought. I'm like, just take it, plug in your device, drag it over to your machine if you want, and upload it. I'm sure there's an app, maybe there's a YouTube app that you can actually record. In fact, I've heard Cliff talk about that there is a YouTube app because it's kind of flaky. But you could actually record right from your phone and upload it from that.
There are some services too. Let's see. Let's think about what about these short video apps? That's really what she's looking for. Are there some like Snapchat? Although you wouldn't use Snapchat, but
yeah, and Vine's only 6 seconds.
Yeah. Maybe this would be a good one for folks to come out and drop on the post. So if you're listening to this and you've got some ideas of what would be great for video, come out to askthepodcastcoach.com. Find this episode. However we do that, the naming, the numbering is not really important anymore.
It's, on these things. It would be 50.
Okay, so yeah. Come out and post in there if you've got some apps that you're using on the phone to do that, that'll help capture it. That'd be great.
But the cool thing is she did that via SpeakPipe, which means I have her phone number, so I might just call her later and go, let's get on the same page here. But it was awesome because I was like, here's somebody who has something that she wants to say and just needs some guidance. I'm like, oh, cool. That's what I do. So.
Did we give her much guidance, though?
I don't know. We need more info, really.
Yeah.
Is the problem. And that's what.
Maybe she could call in. Maybe she could call in a few
weeks. Yeah, I begged her. I'm like, I don't know what coast you're on or whatever, but, you know, if you're up at 10:30, I would love to, because I knew when I heard that, I'm like, I don't know that it's going to be enough to give her a decent answer, but, so.
Hey, there was one quick thing here. There was some conversation this week. I think it was on Facebook around Mixcloud. Have you worked with Mixcloud at all, Dave, very much?
And I believe so.
What you've done.
It sounds like.
It's another one of these services, unlimited. Here's the interesting. So mixcloud.com, Mixcloud, just like it sounds. I created an account if you want to see it. But it's something that I looked. The Verge has got a pretty nice write up on it. But here's the interesting twist to Mixcloud. So it's really designed for DJs to mix music together, you know, different genres of music or whatever together, and then they want to play these mixes. Well, oftentimes there's copyrighted music, right? In all this. Well, Mixcloud has negotiated the licensing agreements for this music, and you can tag the music in. They have a special tagging option right there on the web where you can tag that music and give credit to the artist for it. They take care of the licensing piece, which is really cool. And then you can post those to your site. People can come back to Mixcloud and listen to them in that form. And I imagine you can't download them at that point. I imagine it's got to be a streaming thing so that. Right. But they are handling these licensing issues with music. So my immediate thought was, man, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've heard from a lot of podcasters who are saying, what do I do about music in my podcast? And so I started looking at these guys to say, hey, could this be an option if you're a podcaster who's doing a music podcast in particular and you're playing a lot of that music in your podcast? Would this be a platform for that where you could go and tag it and make it available? Right now, they're offering unlimited uploads. There are, once you create an account, it's unlimited and it's unlimited free, which I always get really hesitant about, right? You're like, okay. What I do like on the back end is these guys are completely self-funded. So they are not, they're making money. And they're not, right, they're not in this VC, hey, we're in a startup kind of thing. They're a lot like the MediaFire guys. They've been around a while. They've paid for everything. They have their own infrastructure. So that kind of makes sense to me. So I started an account. If you go out to mixcloud.com/JayCollison, you can see I've uploaded a couple of my podcasts out there. I didn't go crazy with it. I just uploaded the 3 most recent ones. They have a really nice embeddable player as well. So you can pull that embed player out and share it on Facebook. So it looks actually a lot like Spreaker when you look at it. Their colors are very similar. The player is very similar. But the player will play anywhere. So maybe an option for you, something worth checking out.
You have to check it out. Yeah, I did sign up to play with MediaFire, and I'm like, all right, first things I always test is their support. So I just emailed them and said, do you support byte range requests? I'm like, this will separate the men from the boys. And they're like, as a matter of fact, we do, blah blah blah. And their support says you can expect an answer within 24 hours, and I got one in about 23. So I was like, all right, I'm mainly just checking on your support, and you guys passed, so we'll
Good. Yeah. No, I continue to use them, and it's worth checking out. Again, you can't do everything. We've had my listeners say, you know, try to upload more than 300 folders at a time. And
yeah, okay, maybe.
There's some limits. There are limits.
But Mixcloud is ringing a bell. I've been here before. Usually what happens, here we go.
And now it's time for a pet peeve.
I don't want to log in with my Facebook. Please quit asking me for it. I mean, I understand a lot of people are like, hey, if I don't have to remember another, I'm like, no, because you always say you're not going to do stuff. And then the next thing I know, I got Mixcloud advertising in my Facebook and my families going, why is this coming across your feed?
That's the fear. That is the fear that all of a sudden stuff starts popping up in your feed.
So, it just seems like even Spreaker, it's like you have to click an extra link to like log in. Because
it's hard to find too.
Yeah.
Spreaker hides that login.
Yeah,
it's like, really hard to find.
Yeah, that drives me crazy with the whole Facebook thing. But
who asked you for Facebook?
When I went to log in at Mixcloud, I'm like, well, if I have an account, it's probably in my LastPass and it'll probably just populate. Yeah.
And if you look down a little bit, it'll say login with your email. Yeah, and I did that as well.
Yeah, and I logged in. I was like, I'm not using my Facebook thing. But, hey, we actually have to kind of head out the door because...
What are you on today? What show?
I'm on the new media show with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee over at New Media. I believe it's new. I know their website is New Media Show. I bet Mike is in the chat room. Where do I send people to see the show live? Is it because I know it's part of Geek News Central, which is Todd's kind of thing, except I typed it wrong as I'm trying to fix this. But I don't know. I know if you go to newmediashow.com, that'll take you to their website. But I'm not sure where to go to catch the live feed. And when you go there, let's see.
And remember, no show next week.
Yes, and no show next week. We're taking a week off.
There it is. Geeknewscentral.com/live.
Yeah, so I'll be there in a half hour. So I'm going to take a bit of time and get some lunch and run to the bathroom and look a little more at the submissions that I got because I'm sure they're going
to go to makeup.
Yeah, I definitely need to comb my hair. That was one of the things that was on the list of things to do again this week that, not happening. So that's maybe next week. When I come back 2 weeks from now, I'll have a haircut. So I'll be acceptable. So, but as always, thanks to the chat room for coming out. Jim, thank you.
It's always good, Dave.
And you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and get $20 off your first month. And we'll be on to find out what the heck is a Deezer as life goes on. We'll see what that does and what it means.
Bow, bow, bow.
Exactly. So thanks so much for listening. And we will see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.